Every Friday night, in many Jewish homes around the world, and just before the Shabbat meal, the man of the house will sing this song, and it's about the woman of valor. Understand it? Very good. So today we're looking at the words of that song in, you're going to have to click for me, yeah, in Proverbs 31, The Woman of Valor. It's a song or poem named after its first words, which in Hebrew are Eshet Ha'il, as you just heard sung. And it's sometimes translated the wife of noble character, the woman of worth, the virtuous woman. Ha'il is used in several places in the Hebrew scriptures, and it means to be firm, it's about strength, and it's used about mighty warriors in the army. The best translation of Eshet Ha'il, therefore, seems to be woman of valor. You see, in Jewish culture, that phrase is used a bit like a high five when a woman has done something splendid. So, got a promotion, or passed your driving test, like my daughter Sarah, Eshet Ha'il, go girl! Or like Kath in our house group, who's done the coast-to-coast cycle ride recently, Eshet Ha'il, woman of strength. Christina took her business to the National CIPD exhibition recently, Eshet Ha'il, capable businesswoman. Birgit was shortlisted for a National Bloggers Award, Eshet Ha'il, woman of excellent reputation. Pauline, not here today, and the others, pray for healing on the streets. Eshet Ha'il, we're courageous women. Jemima got a standing ovation for a fabulous Starlight Express production on roller skates. Eshet Ha'il, vigorous woman. We've heard stories here from people who've got themselves debt-free. Eshet Ha'il, financially strong again. Some of you care for an elderly woman, an elderly relative, not necessarily a woman with dementia. Eshet Ha'il, woman of noble character. And some of you are remaining positive under the threat of job cuts. Eshet Ha'il, we salute your strength of character. Do you see how honoring this phrase is to women? And there's more to it than friendly celebration. This phrase is the beginning of a rather special poem in the Bible, Proverbs 31, which you have on your handout. I wonder, do you read poems? If you're like me, possibly not very often, but I bet you listen to sung poems more than you realize. Songs. Sometimes poems and songs seem like a random spattering of words and random ideas and sentences that don't quite make sense. Maybe just to rhyme or strange phrases to fit the rhythm or something. It can sometimes make it help seem slightly less random if we understand the way a particular poem or song has been constructed. Today's poem is actually an acrostic. What's an acrostic, anyone? Eshet Ha'il, excellent knowledge there, Susie. An acrostic poem can be about anything, really. Of course, some people like to start each line of the sentence, though I prefer weaving words into a creation that is more free form. And if you didn't notice what I just did there, this poem starts with Aleph, which is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And carry on, let's see them. The lines of this poem start with each letter of the Hebrew alphabet in order. You wouldn't guess that from our English translation, but you can see it on the coloured boxes, which are going to appear on your handout and on the screen in a second. Now, if we did that in English, you'd have a few problems, because you've got J, Q, X, and Z, so your poem is going to be about jam, queen, zip, and xylophone. I find it actually quite amazing that this Hebrew poem makes any kind of sense given the constraints of all those starting letters. So don't worry too much about strange words like distaff, which gets thrown in here and there. It's a poem. Also on your handout, you'll see some green lines. there we go, which reveal the structure of the poem. It's called chiasm, or mirroring. So the first bit at the top about the value of the woman is echoed by the very last bit, which is celebrating the value of the woman. And the second piece mirrors the last piece. And if we zoom into the middle of the poem, we have a piece here which is about fabrics, and then another piece about fabrics. And click again. When it snows, she has no fear for her household. She can laugh at the days to come. Those are both about looking to the future. So when you understand the structure of the poem, you can see why what seem like random ideas are actually in a pattern. By the way, it isn't perfect chiasm because there's a few J's, X's and Q's in there, but never mind. So more importantly, what does the poem mean? Why does a Jewish man sing this song at the beginning of the Sabbath each week, just before he blesses the children? It's partly to affirm and celebrate his wife. And it actually is quite a radical understanding of her role at the heart of business and economic leadership. And that is the natural and primary meaning of what we're reading here in this poem. Normally, we'd spend a lot of our time on this first meaning. And there's much to say about the radical view of women. And you might want to do that in house group. But today, I want to show you some of the other layers of meaning that people have found in this poem. I wonder how many you found in the Spirit Burns song as you were singing that today. So you'll have to puzzle out whether they're all valid. You might think some of this is rubbish and stick to the literal first layer of meaning, but I encourage you to look deeper as well. This passage is not a sermon, it's not a story, it's a poem, and poems work in a different way. You see, some Jews also understand that the day of rest is deeply related to the concept of the feminine. So you can read bits of this poem as welcoming and celebrating the Sabbath, which is why they sing it at the beginning of the Sabbath. And others use it to remember Shekinah, which is the feminine word for the glory of God, and which we Christians might perhaps understand as the Holy Spirit. Interesting. But the biggest double entendre in this poem is very clever. Let me explain. The beginning of the book of Proverbs starts with the lady wisdom calls out in the market square. And then in chapter 8, the whole of that is personifying woman as a wisdom as a woman with trustworthy things to say. In chapter 9, this female representation of wisdom builds a house. Have you heard of a story where a wise man builds a house on a rock? Have you ever made the connection that Jesus' story is based on something that was in Proverbs? Have a look at it sometime. It's very interesting. And in chapter 31, where we are today, we have this poem about a woman of valor. Could it be that this woman of valor is in fact the Lady Wisdom, when you consider the book of Proverbs as a whole? So let's look at the first few verses. A woman of valor, who can you find? Well, who can find wisdom? Wisdom is worth far more than rubies. We can have full confidence in wisdom. Wisdom brings good, not harm, all the day of our lives. Are you starting to see how it works if you think about it from the perspective of who is the lady? Who is the woman? So I think that if you want more on wisdom, you should listen or read Sally's talk, which she did a couple of weeks ago. It's online. And the one I'm doing is also online already, so you can look at it afterwards. I think God will speak to you as you wrestle with the text and explore the different layers of meaning in this poem. So let's pray. Lord God, as we look at this scripture, will you speak to each of us? By your Holy Spirit, will you shine your light on something here for each of us to take away and put into practice? We value wisdom from you. And we want to hear it from you. Amen. Another little story. In Star Jumps a few weeks ago with the children who are aged 6 and 7, we did the story of the man who was let down through the roof by his friends to see Jesus, and Jesus forgave him, and Jesus healed him. And the kids acted this out. And then we said, let's do it again, but let's change something in the story and see what happens. So they suggested the changes, and then they all acted it out, working out what might have happened based on what they know of Jesus. So we did a version where they accidentally dropped the man through the roof and he died. What would Jesus have done? We did a version where Jesus just forgave him and didn't bother to heal him. We did a version where they were so excited to see Jesus, they forgot to bring their friend. And they had a couple more versions. It was fun. Back again. Changing the Bible story may sound odd, but experimenting with changes can help us see what the Bible is actually saying and why. It was lots of fun. And actually, I think the kids' discussion about the character of Jesus and what he would have done was some of the best theology I've seen that group do. And so we did a similar experiment in our house group a few weeks ago with today's poem. We were asking ourselves, what would the poem be like if we emphasized the layer of meaning about work? And that's what I've been asked to talk about today. What would that mean in today's world of work? All sorts of work, work at home, studying, employed, whether it's a man or a woman. What does it mean to follow Jesus in the world of work? And I've asked Bex, come on up Bex, wherever you are, to read the official version of the poem. And alongside that, I'll read our house group's unofficial hacked translation into the world of work. You have the original version on your sheets. It reminds me a bit of a time last summer in Africa when our team was worshiping in a local Maasai church in Kenya. I did the reading in English. And after each verse, Pastor Ben translated it into Swahili. Pastor Ben was so vivacious and dramatic in his translation that I gradually became more and more excited too. My children thought this was extremely funny, so you can just put your fingers in your ears, kids, and see what happens with the reading today.
A woman of valor, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies.
A noble worker, who can find? They're worth far more than diamonds.
Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value.
The rest of the family have full confidence in them. They are trusted to make decisions and they aren't skint.
She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life.
They bring good, not harm, through their work, all the days of their life, not just until their retirement age.
She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands.
They select good quality materials and have an eager and willing attitude to work.
She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar.
They bring together resources from all the best places.
She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants.
They work hard, provide for their family, and share the profits with their co-workers.
She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard.
They make investments and have a plan to be productive.
She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks.
They don't get stuck unproductively reading endless emails, and they make sure they're well-trained and stay fit.
She sees that her trading is profitable, and the lamp does not go out at night.
They manage their business and household finances, which is, after all, what keeps the lights on.
In her hand, she holds the distaff. She grasps the spindle with her fingers.
Xylophones, zips, jam, and queen music are some of the things they might sell on eBay. Didn't understand that one.
She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy.
They connect their work with the social needs of the world. Materials are fairly traded. The business is carbon neutral and non-polluting. They have a give-as-you-earn scheme. And unsold food goes to the homeless.
When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet.
They have a plan for the bad times. Even in recession, their utility bills are not inked in scarlet. And they are not afraid of the future.
She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple.
This was the house group, by the way. They construct IKEA furniture. That's work. And it was work to create all the handmade things around the house.
Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes a seat among the elders of the land.
It is work to lobby the city council, the chamber of commerce, the school board of governors, the charity activist. It's all work and demands our respect.
She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes.
It's all work whether you're in retail, wholesale, studying, caring, homemaking, labouring, managing, or doing admin, or selling scarves.
She's clothed with strength and dignity.
Whatever your work is, paid or unpaid, stand up and be proud of it. You're not just something.
She can laugh at all the days to come.
Planning ahead takes effort, but it gives you a light and bubbly spirit.
She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue.
Pass on what you know. Teaching isn't just for teachers.
She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness.
Workers often have to juggle caring responsibilities. This sandwich generation hasn't time to eat the bread of idleness.
Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all.
People respect those who work hard. Their skills are endorsed on LinkedIn.
Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.
It's not about looking good or being seen to work well when people are watching. Whatever you do, work at it wholeheartedly as though you were doing it for the Lord and not merely for people. When you're at work, God is there too. God is at work and God is at work.
Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate.
It's good to honor and affirm workers for all that they do. So Bex, thank you. Great job. That is so good. So in that primary layer of meaning, Bex painted quite a radical picture of how the world of work is woven into the marriage relationship. And the House Script translation amplifies how that applies to different kinds of work that you and I do today, whether we're married or single, male or female. There's a lot in that poem, but the three ideas I'd like to pick out relating to our work. First of all, I'd love you to see each of you enjoying variety in what you do, just like the person in the poem. I'd ask each of you to think, what is your work? You can probably come up with at least two answers. Like the woman in the poem, it could include creative work, construction work, labouring, trading, charity work, management, finances, work at home or a long way from home, unpaid work, and paid work if you're able. It can be study, it can be the basics of survival. So, what is your work? Secondly, I'd love you to catch the enthusiasm for work that you see in this poem, chase away your laziness. She sets about her work vigorously. It's good to work. If you're studying, get stuck in. It's not about doing the minimum to pass an exam. Love learning. If you're caring for children or elderly relatives and keeping the house going, it can sap your energy. In paid work, there are so many ways for morale to sink or company time to get wasted. The call of Jesus is to do our work as though for him. And it is, in fact, that alignment to him that can also be the source of our enthusiasm and energy for work. And thirdly, I'd love you to see your work as a way of serving and blessing others generously, either directly or through what you earn, or both. Verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. I've already mentioned the charitable side of this, but have you thought about being generous to the people you come across at work? Someone needs help with a practice exam question. The person you're caring for has yet another need. A co-worker doesn't know how to use Excel and you take the time to show them. All of those are opportunities for generosity. Now, clearly our time isn't unlimited, but I believe a characteristic of following Jesus at work is serving and blessing others generously. In my workplace, Interestingly, I often see recognition awards and they say, that person went the extra mile. I don't think they know they're quoting Jesus or that that generous action is a reflection of the value of the kingdom of God, but it is. So let me draw together in summary. I'd quite like you to have another look at this poem in your own time and look for the layers of meaning about woman and work and wisdom and maybe even the Holy Spirit. You can download more copies of this handout from your website, scribble on them, and see if you can try to hear what God might be saying on those topics. You can do it on your own, you can do it in your house group. Now, don't invent stuff, don't twist it. Just look at it from different perspectives. Secondly, in one of those layers, I'd love you to love, to value wisdom. Treasure the insights that help you to live life well. Seek out godly wisdom. Shape your life by your relationship with God. And thirdly, I'd love you to work well. Look for variety. Go at it with enthusiasm. Find ways to serve and bless each other generously. So, how shall we respond? In the Vineyard tradition, we always offer an opportunity to pray or receive prayer. That's optional, of course. But what I'd like you to do in a moment, scary, is to introduce yourself to someone sitting near you. And the question you can ask each other is, what is your work? And you can choose the kind of answer to give. What is your work? You might mention something you do around the house or garden, whether or not it's your main job. It might be something you're studying, whether or not you're a student. It might be someone that you're caring for or teaching, whether or not you're listed as a caring professional or a teacher. It may be through illness or whatever. The basics of survival are actually your work. So, here's your challenge. Please, can you, this is as close to an ending as you get, can you introduce yourself to someone now? Ask each other, what is your work? And if you're up for it, how can I pray for you about this? That bit's optional, but that's what we love to do around here. So take the chance if you're up for it. And thank you for coming to the Vineyard. Just going to play that song again while you're getting to chat to each other. So cue video. Hello.
Okay. Feel free to carry on and chat, but if you've got young children in Vineyard Kids, this would be a great time to go and collect them. Indeed, if you're in pairs and people, you can pray for each other if there's something for healing or continual discussions. But thanks for visiting, and see you again soon. Thanks.